Chapter 6. Fleeing the Fire. Dawn woke her. Dawn and a noise in the sky. Adara yawned and blinked and heard it again. She shinnied to the uppermost limb of the tree, as high as it would bear her, and pushed aside the leaves. There were dragons in the sky. She had never seen beasts quite like these. Their scales were dark and sooty, not green like the dragon Hal rode. One was a rust color, and one was the shade of dried blood, and one was black as coal. All of them had eyes like glowing embers, and steam rose from their nostrils, and their tails flicked back and forth as their dark, leathery wings beat the air. The rust-colored one opened its mouth and roared, and the forest shook to its challenge, and even the branch that held Adara trembled just a little. The black one made a noise, too, and when it opened its maw, a spear of flame lanced out, all orange and blue, and touched the trees below. Leaves withered and blackened, and smoke began to rise from where the dragon's breath had fallen. The one the color of blood flew close overhead, its wings creaking and straining, its mouth half open. Between its yellowed teeth, Adara saw soot and cinders, and the wind stirred by its passage was fire and sandpaper, raw and chafing against her skin. She cringed. On the backs of the dragons rode men with whip and lance, in uniforms of black and orange, their faces hidden behind dark helmets. The one on the rust dragon gestured with his lance, pointing at the farm buildings across the fields. Adara looked. Hal came up to meet them. His green dragon was as large as their own, but somehow it seemed small to Adara as she watched it climb upwards from the farm. With its wings fully extended, it was plain to see how badly injured it was. The right wingtip was charred, and it leaned heavily to one side as it flew. On its back, Hal looked like one of the tiny toy soldiers he had brought them as a present years before. The enemy dragon riders split up and came at him from three sides. Hal saw what they were doing. He tried to turn, to throw himself at the black dragon head-on and flee the other two. His whip flailed angrily, desperately. His green dragon opened its mouth and roared a challenge, but its flame was pale and short and did not reach the enemy. The others held their fire. Then, on a signal, their dragons all breathed as one. Hal was wreathed in flames. His dragon made a high, wailing noise, and Adara saw that it was burning. He was burning. They were all burning, beast and master both. They fell heavily to the ground and lay smoking amidst her father's wheat. The air was full of ashes. Adara craned her head around in the other direction and saw a column of smoke rising from beyond the forest and the river. That was the farm where old Laura lived with her grandchildren and their children. When she looked back, the three dark dragons were circling lower and lower above her own farm. One by one, they landed. She watched the first of the riders dismount and saunter towards their door. She was frightened and confused, and only 7 after all. And the heavy air of summer was a weight upon her, and it filled her with a helplessness and thickened all her fears. So Adara did the only thing she knew, without thinking, a thing that came naturally to her. She climbed down from her tree and ran. She ran across the fields and through the woods, away from the farm and her family and the dragons, away from all of it. She ran until her legs throbbed with pain, down in the direction of the river. She ran to the coldest place she knew, to the deep caves underneath the river bluffs, to chill, shelter, and darkness and safety. And there in the cold she hid. Adara was a winter child, and cold did not bother her. But still, as she hid, she trembled. Day turned into night. Adara did not leave her cave. She tried to sleep, but her dreams were full of burning dragons. She made herself very small as she lay in the darkness, and tried to count how many days remained until her birthday. The caves were nicely cool. Adara could almost imagine that it was not summer after all, that it was winter, or near to winter. Soon her ice dragon would come for her, and she would ride on its back to the land of always winter, where great ice castles and cathedrals of snow stood eternally in endless fields of white, and the stillness and silence were all. It almost felt like winter as she lay there. The cave grew colder and colder, it seemed. It made her feel safe. She napped briefly. When she woke, it was colder still. A white coating of frost covered the cave walls, and she was sitting on a bed of ice. Adara jumped to her feet and looked up towards the mouth of the cave, filled with a wan light. A cold wind caressed her, but it was coming from outside, from the world of summer, not from the depths of the cave at all. She gave a small shout of joy and climbed and scrambled up the ice-covered rocks. Outside, the ice dragon was waiting for her. It had breathed upon the water, and now the river was frozen, or at least a part of it was, although one could see that the ice was fast melting as the summer sun rose. It had breathed upon the green grass that grew along the banks, grass as high as Adara, and now the tall blades were white and brittle, and when the ice dragon moved its wings, the grass cracked in half and tumbled, sheared as clean as if it had been cut down with a scythe. The dragon's icy eyes met Adara's, and she ran to it and up its wing and threw her arms about it. She knew she had to hurry. The ice dragon looked smaller than she had ever seen it, and she understood what the heat of summer was doing to it. "Hurry, dragon," she whispered. "Take me away. Take me to the land of always winter. We'll never come back here, never. I'll build you the best castle of all, and take care of you, and ride you every day. Just take me away, dragon. Take me home with you." The ice dragon heard and understood. Its wide, translucent wings unfolded and beat the air, and bitter Arctic winds howled through the fields of summer. They rose, away from the cave, away from the river, above the forest, up and up. The ice dragon swung around to the north. Adara caught a glimpse of her father's farm, but it was very small and growing smaller. They turned their back to it and soared. Then a sound came to Adara's ears, an impossible sound, a sound that was too small and too far away for her to ever have heard it, especially above the beating of the ice dragon's wings. But she heard it nonetheless. She heard her father scream. Hot tears ran down her cheeks, and where they fell upon the ice dragon's back, they burned small pockmarks in the frost. Suddenly the cold beneath her hands was biting, and when she pulled one hand away, Adara saw the mark that it had made upon the dragon's neck. She was scared, but still she clung. "Turn back," she whispered. "Oh, please, dragon, take me back." She could not see the ice dragon's eyes, but she knew what they would look like. Its mouth opened, and a blue-white plume issued, a long, cold streamer that hung in the air. It made no noise. Ice dragons are silent. But in her mind, Adara heard the wild keening of its grief. "Please," she whispered once again. "Help me." Her voice was thin and small. The ice dragon turned.